Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Martha.
Good afternoon, Zama. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Yo, it's hot here.
Oh, man. Extremely hot. Are you in Harare?
No, Zambia.
Are you in Lusaka?
No, in the Copper Belt.
In the Copper Belt.
The northern part, yeah.
Ah, the northern part. My goodness, is it already that hot?
Yo, it's hot.
goodness. Well, you gotta withstand the heat, and let's hope that you are going to be having a beautiful and very hot summer, yet safe one.
Exactly.
Now, since yesterday we've been learning about the simple steps to finding salvation and growing as a Christian, and we covered the first step, which was about repentance. Now, our role in letting go of sin, that is repentance. Now, today we want to focus on steps two and step three. Now, please take us through the rest of the lesson. What comes after repentance in the journey of growing as a Christian?
Okay, so like we established yesterday, the first thing is to receive, or rather to ask Christ to deal with the sin in our lives. After we've asked him to deal with the sin in our lives, we've confessed, we've said, no, please, my sins are too big, I cannot do this on my own. After that, then we come to the second step, which is receiving a new life from Jesus. I think we can all attest to the fact that when it comes to new life, even the famous man, who's this man? Nicodemus.
Nicodemus,
He came to Christ saying, but how can a person be born again? How can a person have new life? But I think Christ labored in John chapter 3, Christ labored to indicate to him, so you cannot do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. There is nothing about you that you can bring to the table. But it's everything about Christ that can really give you a new life. And we as we read from John chapter 1, verse 12, let me just read it quickly. John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, I think this is a famous favorite chapter. Should be for Vonnie. I think I've heard her speak about John chapter 1. Verse 12, it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. So receiving a new life from Jesus, as long as you receive him, I think even the verse says, as many received him, then he gives you the right to be called a child of God. And only if you believe. So receiving a new life means that we believe that Jesus has really saved us, and we believe that he's given us that new life. Remember, he came on earth in form of man, us, and he brought the light of which darkness could not comprehend. And only if we receive the light can darkness come out of us, and then we receive the new life. I think basically that.
Beautiful stuff. Now, what is God's part in giving us that new life?
Well, God's part is, I'll go back to John chapter 3. You know, the same Nicodemus man. I think this was a very powerful conversation that Jesus had with him. In verse 3, John chapter 3, verse 3, it says, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And I also want to add on verse 8. It says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from. Many of the times we see the trees moving, but we don't see where the wind comes from. We just see that the trees are moving. And that's exactly the part that God does in our lives. We cannot really comprehend how he does it, but he promises to give us a new life. New life, let me also give an example of Psalm 139, verse 23, where David was talking to God. He was saying, he said, Lord, try me, search me. Let me just read it. Psalm 139, verse 23, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxiety.
Yeah.
And see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me, Roger that, and lead me in the way of everlasting.
Mm-hmm.
So meaning he God himself, the part that he plays is he searches us, he tries us, and then he leads us into a way of everlasting, meaning a new life. It's only him who is able to do that. As our duty is to be willing and be born again, then he does the transforming himself.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot really comprehend it, like I said. And the transforming is actually resurrection from spiritual death. We are dead spiritually.
Mm.
And, you know, even Paul, when he was talking, I think that should be in Romans, when he was saying, when the law was not there, I was alive. I did everything I could. But then when the law came, it actually removed my self-esteem. So initially we are dead spiritually. But when Christ comes and renews us, then we become alive and he gives us. Like, that's the part that God does in our lives.
Mm. What would you say is the third step?
The third step is now to live for Jesus. And I think this is the step which is quite important because then after you've repented, after you've now accepted Jesus' new life in us, after you've now accepted his life as being ours and we've become born again, then you now start to live for whom you have accepted, right?
Mm.
It's more like a covenant. You're making an agreement to say, look, I have made many mistakes in the past, and I'm willing to change. Then he tells you, okay, I've forgiven you and I've cleansed all your unrighteousness. And then from there, you ask him to say, now I want a new life. I want to be changed. And then he'll tell you to say, you cannot do it on your own, by the way, Martha. You can't do it on your own. I'm the one who is able to do it for you. And so I will search you and I will try you and I will give you a new life.
Mm.
And then after he does that, after you've accepted the new life, then you now start living for Christ, that same new life you've accepted, you've gotten, then now you live for Jesus. How do you live for Jesus? Number one, studying his word. Many preachers will say this and will say it so many times. It's because I think some of them have understood to say without the word, of which we know that in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God.
Yeah.
Without him, we cannot do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, it is by hearing the word that we are changed into his likeness, right? So study his word. Pray. And there is even many people emphasize the importance of prayer. And I think I also want to emphasize the importance of these two. Study and pray. You breathe in, you breathe out. You breathe in, you breathe out. I think that's now becoming a way of... that's now you living for Jesus. Because then how do you live for someone you do not know?
Yeah,
you need
yeah.
to study him.
Mm.
You need to know him. You need to talk to him. It's a conversation.
Yes.
You need to talk to him. You need to study him. How then does he want you to live?
Mm.
How then can you live exactly how he lived when he was on earth? I mean, he gave an example, right,
mm-hmm.
on how to live. So then we also need to live for Jesus. After prayer, I've talked of number one, study the word, right? Number two,
yeah,
prayer.
Yeah.
And then we go to meditation. You know, meditation is very important because sometimes we have a tendency as Christians to read the word just to prove a point that I know something.
Mm.
But if we approach the word and say, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this? Or what do you want me to learn? You open the Bible and say, okay, Lord, now what do you want me to learn? And then you meditate. I think that is really helpful. And like opening the Bible to say, okay, now what am I going to propound on Sabbath on the lesson study so that they see that I'm reading the word? And I think that's the wrong approach. Yeah. So study the word, pray, meditation, and then fellowship with fellow Christians. We should never accept what people say to say, no, I left the church, but I did not leave God. Impossible. Immediately you leave the church, just know that the enemy has gotten you and is taking advantage of the fact that you've left the church. Sometimes, you know, sometimes people take for granted the power of fellowship. You know, in fellowship, that's where we see our defects as people because we have different personalities, right? We have different personalities. Sometimes you learn from this one, sometimes you learn from that one. And as you come together, you tend to become one in the body of Christ. And, you know, it's very effectual, unlike being alone.
Mm,
and then after that, you find that when you do all those things, you begin to share your experiences with others. Remember, you cannot share your experience alone. You can only share when you're with others, right? So now how do you learn to be with others? You share, I mean, you I mean, how do you share with others? You learn to be with others, and then you share your experiences. Like, oh, guys, I had an accident, but then I came out alive. Oh, guys, I was an addict, but then I'm no longer an addict. Here's how Jesus saved me. And I think it's Mrs. White who wrote in Desire of Ages, where she was saying, immediately someone accepts or is transformed by Christ. I think she used an English, the English version, where Nosuna had, I think, something like that. Mm-hmm. Then immediately, just want to share, like the zeal is in you. It said, no, what I've experienced, I cannot just keep it to myself. And I think basically that is now living for Jesus.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. Man, I must thank you so much for coming through today, Martha. But how would you conclude for us this lesson that we've had, including yesterday's lesson?
So, you know, I think this lesson has been also an eye-opening lesson to me, because sometimes as Christians, like I say, we tend to take for granted these simple steps. Mm. And when you look at this finding salvation and growing as a Christian, this is exactly what everyone is supposed to be doing each and every day. You need to find salvation. Now that you found salvation, well, how are you growing as a Christian? And I will end like this. Sanctification, of which is growing, you growing as a Christian. Right now, you want to be you keep getting sanctified. Mm-hmm. This sanctification issue is not a week of a moment or an hour. No. It's not even in a day.
Yeah.
It is a continual growth in grace. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also want us to understand that Satan lives and is active. And every day, we need to earnestly cry to God for help and strength to resist him.
Yeah.
Because he knows immediately you make a decision to follow him, he is after you. So it is an everyday longing for God to help us resist him. And then lastly, I'm ending like this. Mm-hmm. Every living Christian who advance in their daily divine life, because Christ is the one who gives us the power for perfection. So as we live each and every day, the Christian life, it should be a constant onward march. We keep marching each and every day. Like I said, we cannot do it on our own. We need to realize that only Christ can do it through us and in us. So Jesus sits as a refiner and a purifier of his people. And when his image is perfectly reflected in them, they are perfect and holy and prepared for translation. So are you willing, Zama, am I willing to grow in this Christian life? If we are willing, then he has promised to say he is able to blot out all those things and give us a new life and live for him. Yeah.
Mm. Beautiful stuff. I must thank you so much for joining us today, Martha. And of course, yesterday, blessings to you. Have a fantastic week ahead.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Lovely. Blessings. Well, there you have it. That is none other than Martha Masinja, who has joined us talking about finding salvation and growing as a Christian. It's a beautiful one. And yesterday we covered one step, and today we covered three steps. And of course, a fantastic, fantastic conclusion to that conversation.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.